This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. We're here every week to talk about subjects that we think are important and topical and locally of interest. And I emphasize that because I try to introduce you to people that are making a better Buffalo or a better Western New York in some way or other. And recently, I saw an article, which I'm going to steal actually from Buffalo First, to tell you the truth. And it had a story. The headline was Building a Better Buffalo, and the headline was A Lawyer Commits to Helping At-Risk Youth. And I read it and I thought, oh my gosh, there is a person who is really helping in a very, very crucial and critical situation here in Western New York dealing with at-risk youth. And it said that our guest, James Awadinsky, is helping through Home Space Corporation and Compass House, which I wanted to know more about. And so I'm happy to say, out of his busy schedule, Mr. Awadinsky took time to come here and talk to us on Target in person, in real life. Hi.
Hello, Judge Wolfgang. Pleasure to be here.
So what do you want me to call you? James or Jim?
James is great, please.
Are you Jim?
Not Jim. That's my dad,
okay.
Jamie Jim. I'm
All
James.
All right. Okay. That's why I'm checking. So my husband was Michael, and
okay.
Never Mike, you know, or
always
never
Michael.
Mikey, always Michael. So, you know, I had to check. Now, I wanted to tell our listeners a little bit about your background because it was so interesting. And, of course, we have to emphasize your firm, Hotz & Russ, because they're so kind to let you come and also to let you participate in all these community activities. So let's talk about how you got to the place that you are now.
Sure. No, I'd be happy to. I was a law student at the University of Buffalo School of Law. I graduated in 2018, and during that time, I participated in the on-campus interview program at UB, and I met the Hotz & Russ folks, and we hit it off from there. I interned during the summer of 2017 and became a first-year associate in the fall of 2018 and have been there ever since.
No, I want to go back further than that.
Further than
I
that,
I want to
okay,
go back to like when you were you born in this area or
sure,
you
sure.
know, that kind of.
I'm definitely a Buffalo boy, born and bred. I was born at Millard Fillmore Suburban Hospital.
Okay,
right down the road.
Yeah, right. I did. And all your education, you stayed here.
I did. I went to St. Greg's, Canisius High School, Canisius College, and UB School of Law.
So I'm truly talking to a true Western New Yorker.
You are,
which is very, very important for all of us on Target because we really like to emphasize how wonderful it is to live here and how you can have a career and stay and not leave. You know?
I'm fully committed to and really passionate about being here.
Now, what about the specialty? Well, what made you go to law school?
I wanted to do something where I could be successful in two ways. Successful in taking care of and providing for myself and my future family, but also in a way that would allow me to do something for the greater good. And both the practice of law and my firm allows me to do just that.
And what about your specialty? I mean, as we know, in law school, it's hard to know. Well, most people don't know what they want to specialize in, I think, when they're.
I certainly didn't.
No, I know I didn't. I started just totally and ended up like in a total different direction. Well, I wasn't even going to be a lawyer, so we're going to talk about me. But what was your like interest in law school and what's your specialty now?
Sure. Well, my interest in law school was doing a good job and being able to pass the bar.
as we all did, right?
And then I think thereafter, the summer associate program at my law firm, Hotz & Russ, helped me figure out whether I wanted to be a business transactional lawyer or a litigator. And, you know, with litigating, you go to court. You know, unfortunately, I never had the pleasure of being in front of Your Honor. But litigation's cool in the sense that you get to really interact with people of all walks of life, both clients, adversaries, lawyers, judges, etc. And it's a cool way to use the law and still be with people.
So you're saying you decided on litigation?
I did.
But also, there are specialties of that.
Correct.
You know, so what have you been doing?
Yeah, so I think in the first couple of years of practice, you kind of dabble in a bunch of things litigation-wise as you wet your feet and kind of find out where you're going to go. And lately, I've been, as I'm growing in my career, progressing towards more of a defense perspective for businesses. I do primarily defense of healthcare companies, banks, radio stations, TV programmers, etc. And I really enjoy that.
Oh, radio stations could not need an attorney. How could they ever have any problems, right? And so along the way, which is how I got to talk to you to begin with, along the way, you got interested in various not-for-profits that have to do with a specific area. I mean, there's so many not-for-profits, and it has to do with young people.
Correct.
How did that happen?
Well, it was sort of a fluke, to be honest. I had a passion for giving back, right? So that was easy. I had an invite from one of my colleagues at the firm to come to her event. She was on the board of Homespace, and she said, come along, James. And that's sort of the way things go. You know, we find our colleagues that invite us, and we end up stepping into their shoes. And I went, and within, I would say, 5 to 10 minutes, I don't often say I get chills, but I was listening to some of the speakers that were real youth. And the stories that they told about the work and the benefit that Homespace provided them as becoming young people, growing in the community, coming out of tough situations, hit home to me because I was provided with so much from my parents and my family that these kids just don't have. And Homespace provides that level of support that they need to become successful adults.
What is Homespace?
Homespace.
We had to take a step back.
Sure.
I don't know about my listeners, but I might have heard the name, but I'm definitely not familiar with the work of Homespace.
And that's funny. I mean, that's part of my, I took over as president just really quickly 2 years ago of the board. And through COVID and now thereafter with our new executive director, I'm really trying to make it more familiarized in the community.
Right.
So that's part of next steps. But to take a level back or step back, as we just said, Homespace has been around for almost 30 years. It is a local nonprofit based in the city of Buffalo that operates transitional housing for at-risk youth. So there's three programs. There is our mother baby home for young moms. There is our second chance home and our next step programs. Each has its own particularities. Each serves a different purpose. And our youth can graduate from one program to the other if they so choose. But in all, it really cares for young women. But due to New York State's recent mandates and changes, we are now evolving to care for young men as well. We're not getting as many referrals from the county, but it's, you know, it's a process.
Young men can't be fathers.
Correct.
They can't be mothers.
Correct. They can't be mothers, but they can certainly be fathers.
They can be fathers. All right. So let me just be specific.
Sure.
About, is there a real place? Is there a
yes.
real, and is there more than one?
There are three technical homes, two locations. Two homes, our mother baby and our next step programs are at 1033 Ellicott Street downtown near the hospital corridor. And our other program is at Michigan Avenue about two blocks over.
Okay, so start with mother baby. What
sure.
do they provide?
Support.
And who's eligible?
Yeah,
who would
sure.
go there?
Sure. Yeah. Any youth, really, now that it's a gender neutral term, that is a young parent or soon to be a parent. So it can be fathers that, you know, that are gonna take care of the young baby. It can be a young father that is already in possession or, you know, a young parent of their baby, of his baby. And obviously young mothers that are pregnant, expecting, things like that, all the way through. And we'll care for them. I believe it's through 18. And if we get special permission from the county a little bit thereafter.
So they would come to live actually at
yeah.
at the mother baby or the
correct.
Place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Billing. And how and what would happen there? What services would you
they're
guys
really
provide?
They're actually provided. It's independent living, right? So they can do whatever they want in the sense of they receive an apartment. It's funded by the county and inherently through the state. And Of course, we provide oversight and guidance in that particular program with keeping them on a correct path towards graduation, if that's what the path they so choose. Of course, we comply with keeping them in school, but you know, thereafter, or if there's difficulties, we help them navigate those challenges as well.
There must be the importance of prenatal medical care, because a lot of the issues involved that when people, when they're, you know, out on the street or on their own, they don't, very often the mothers-to-be don't know about going to the doctor. They don't know what they should be eating.
Absolutely.
They don't, and I assume that that's in checking, and I assume the medical part is very important.
A huge component, and thanks for bringing that up, too. We have, I think, roughly 30 to 40 case managers and case planners, of which a certain amount include on-site registered nurses, licensed practical nurses that care for our youth at all programs, but then also facilitate transportation and support to doctor's appointments, hospitals, medical care, health insurance, all those sorts of things.
What qualifies a person to be an at-risk youth who's eligible for the services that you're talking about?
So most of, if not all, our youth come from referrals from the county. So it's the Office of Child and Family Services through the state that places youth at Home Space. And that's really the situation for many of the programs around the state that provide similar services. I'm not certain. Listen, if someone came to our doorstep, I'm sure we would take them in and figure it out somehow.
On their own, yeah.
Yeah, but that really doesn't happen that often.
No, because until you are around to tell people about it, like, and here we are on Target, they would mostly not know on their own.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
So it's, they're referred. Part two, we talked about the one place.
Yep.
Part two,
sure.
Is what?
Compass House. And so Compass House is actually a sister organization to Home Space. They were founded around the same time by the same group of wonderful church-going folk at the Trinity Lutheran Church. And they serve similar missions, but different purposes. So while Home Space caters and serves our at-risk youth on a more permanent basis, Compass House provides transitional in-and-out services for runaway youth. We have a resource center downtown on Main Street that provides just a safe place for our youth to go if they want to be there for a couple hours, eat, get a hot meal, things like that. Just talk to someone, a counselor, get their thoughts out, cry, do whatever they need to do. And then we also have an overnight facility on Linwood Avenue in the city near the old Gates Circle Hospital that provides a more temporary permanent housing situation, a couple nights, a couple weeks. But in that particular program, our executive director there, Lisa Freeman, who is wonderful, works with the county on providing more permanency to the youth outside of the Compass House network, and which could be Home Space.
Okay. Are we talking about numbers? Did we talk about numbers?
Haven't talked about numbers yet, no.
Wait, before we get to numbers,
sure.
There's a third place that you mentioned. No?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Oh, are we thinking about the other home at
yes.
Home Space?
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
there
yeah.
Another,
no. Sorry about that. I'm thinking about two nonprofits
yes.
that I spend both my time at. But back to Home Space, the third home is our Next Step home, which is at the same physical location as the Mother Baby home on Ellicott Street. And that provides a very structured program to youth that need more direction and guidance and support on a more regular basis, shall we say. And we have case managers, house supervisors, all the types of people that we just discussed that really help our youth wake up. They have a schedule. They brush their teeth. They clean their room. They come down for breakfast. They eat together. They make their lunch. They clean the kitchen. It's a real structure that helps them, helps our youth become adults and functioning, contributing adults to the society that they live in.
So really, there it's like a cradle to grave. Cradle to grow up. To cradle to be
yep.
an adult, you know, trying to. I'm just going to interrupt for a moment in case you just tuned in today. You're listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. And I always know it's time to interrupt and tell everyone what they're listening to because Kevin comes in and he's like, don't forget to tell everyone that they're listening to On Target. And I'm Penny Wolfgang, and my guest today is James Owodinski, and he is an attorney with Hodson Russ and law firm, and we are talking basically about his community service to at-risk youth, and we're just about to find out why, besides going there that time, what do you think motivated you? What do you think the issue is that we have so many at-risk youth here in Western New York?
Certainly a very challenging question. I think that there's a whole slew of answers to that question. Probably the most pertinent for today is that the guidance and direction that some of our youth receive, or lack thereof, just isn't there, right? So when our youth move through the school system or don't, they're not really receiving the structure or the care or the love and support that a family network or a family unit provides. And that's what Homespace and Compass House, which we talked about earlier, really try to provide, is that family structure that shows our youth that they're loved, that they're supported, that they mean something, and that they provide value to the community. And I'm certainly not admonishing the school network or anything like that or certain kids' families. It's just, if they don't have that structure or support, if they're not going to school, if they don't have a mom or dad or a sibling or a grandma or a grandpa to love them, which is often the case, and they're on the streets at 14 years old, walking aimlessly, you know, going from drugstore to drugstore, trying to feed their young child, feed themselves with, you know, Cheetos or candy bars, they're missing that component that helps them grow and helps them become, you know, a full functioning adult. And we try to provide those programs to do that.
It's interesting that this resonated with you because you had the opposite, you know, so you said, you looked and you said, gee, how could somebody, you know, not love their child? How could somebody not do their homework with them? How could somebody, you know, not care for them, feed them properly, and so forth and so on?
Yeah, no, certainly. And, you know, I think that's all part of it, that the education I received as a kid growing up, my parents, my family and friends, and the community that I'm around, it's always, they've and it's always emphasized gratefulness and grace and giving back. Whether that was when I was at St. Greg's and going to Response to Love Center at Canisius High School, going on immersion trips and traveling, seeing the injustices across the world, and then coming back to Buffalo and saying, hey, you know, we got our own stuff going on here. How can I help fix that before I go somewhere else? And that's really how this all came to be.
I think what you're seeing a lot of times in these what we're calling at-risk youth is the, yes, lack of adult supervision, but also peer pressure.
Absolutely.
Can you talk? I think that
It's challenging, yeah, too. I hear about it sometimes in executive session or reports that even the youth that receive our services when they're at school, when they're coming, they're walking because they're, you know, of course they can walk from school to Homespace or Compass House or whatever. They're confronted with their peers who are pressuring them to do drugs, to you know, do things that are inappropriate for their age, in whatever way you can think about it. And in particular situations where you're hungry, you need money, you don't have clothes, you have a young kid, what do? You act on those peer pressure requests and you do what they're telling you to do. And there's no real solution to that because it's probably always going to be there, peer pressure and wrong things. But the best we can do, and what I'm trying to do, is provide support and a network of love and compassion that teaches these youth that there are alternatives and a better way, so to say.
Now you're fighting peer pressure and also the obvious other influence, social media. You're laughing. I was like, uh-oh, I knew we were going to get to that. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm quote unquote a millennial. I'm almost 30 and I love social media. It's a part of my everyday life. I don't know what I would, you know, it'd be weird not to have an iPhone and scrolling Instagram at night when you're in bed. And exactly, I mean, our youth that we serve, I don't know sometimes how they obtain cell phones, but they have them and they see everything on social media. You're exactly right. So they're confronted not only with people on the streets walking next to them, friends, whatever, but they're looking at their iPhones or their droids and scrolling TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and seeing, you know, good things and bad that, you know, they have to make decisions about. And it certainly plays into our whole care package that we try to provide.
Yes, because I just saw something yesterday that one of the school districts in, I don't know, Southtown or something.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Preventing them from...
Yep.
And I said, yay, good
yep.
for you. But, you know, I'm old, so I was like, you know. But I know it can't be good. It can't be good for, you know, when you're supposed to be in school in a class, looking at your phone or texting or whatever, you know.
Absolutely.
IBMing or whatever.
Yeah. It's funny because I think being almost 30, I'm coming at it from two perspectives.
Yeah.
Because when I was in eighth grade or high school, we didn't have iPhones or iPads in the classroom. I think Canisius was just thinking about launching iPads when I was a senior in high school. So that's like almost 10 years ago. And now everyone goes to first grade and gets an iPad.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And you know, whatever school district you're in.
Right.
So when our youth see everything going on in the world around them and what they could do or what they shouldn't do or what they do and they shouldn't do, it certainly poses another challenge that, you know, kind of like you said, Penny, I don't love social media for that perspective, but I do for seeing people and seeing friends and colleagues and the happy faces.
It can be a good and bad influence, but
yep.
when you keep hearing these stories about, for example, the bullying
mm-hmm.
that goes on, which I could not understand at the beginning when I would hear about this, because I'm like so old, I would say, well, why don't they just turn off the computer? Or why don't they just not look or something? But no, it's your life. It's their life. And every second they're looking. And so if somebody is bullying them or saying something about them and then writing, you call it.
Yeah.
And then somebody else, I mean, and it seems like it can ruin your life, and it leads to suicides, as we well know, and
yep.
and terrible things.
Yeah, mental health is certainly a big part
of...
Oh,
yeah, I want to mention that. Yeah. Do you notice that?
All the time. And we have, you know, especially, I mean, the tragedy at Tops a couple months ago, which was horrific for a million different reasons, really shed light on the need in our community for mental health awareness. And so we provided that as much as we could at Homespace. We provided mental health counselors on site, via Zoom, by phone. We did vigils, things like that. But even aside from that experience, making sure that we had those folks on staff and on site for our youth, the mental health component generally is just a huge part of social media now. That, like you said, whether or not they invite the bullying, it happens. And you could have a quick little comment on your Instagram post or your Facebook post that all of a sudden makes you tear up and cry and sit in your room and, you know, do whatever you do, right? Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, you know. And our case managers and our nurses and our site staff have to be ready to tackle that and help our youth through it. So that presents a whole other list of things that we have to be aware of.
And this must have been exacerbated a lot during the last couple of years because of COVID.
For our youth and for the world at large,
yes.
I think that, you know, if it's happening to me, it's certainly happening to our youth. And I was sitting at home in April of 2020 scrolling social media because there was nothing else to do. So what were our, you know, youth doing? They were probably in their apartments, you know, with masks on, separated from our staff with masks on in horrible situations, scrolling social media and reading comments and, you know, the trolls that were commenting on them. And who knows how that was affecting them.
Do you need more more funding? How do you get funding?
Sure. Well, most of our funding comes from the state through the Office of Child and Family Services, but we also have a grant writer that writes for grants, and we receive a lot of private funding that way, locally, and a couple things nationally. We have a new executive director who I am very proud to have on our team. He comes with years of experience from Adoption Star in Western New York and loads of experience with funding. So I think over the next couple years, we'll see an increase in funding, I hope. But certainly, you know, I'm never going to turn away opportunities to get more funding for our youth because we need it. We'll always need it because more funding equals more programs equals more opportunities for our youth.
And an increase because of COVID and everything else, there's an increase in demand for your services, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no, for sure. We went through a lull where placement was not stalled, but not as accelerated as it usually is. And I think that was just a result of folks not going into the programs because they were sheltered or scared to leave their homes and things like that. But certainly our enrollment is much better lately. Our numbers are way up. We call it census at all of the homes. And our team, particularly, who I'd like to give a big shout out at Homespace, is really just doing an incredible job. I have goosebumps just talking about them because they really knocked it out of the park throughout the whole COVID time.
Well, they're so fortunate, and we are fortunate here in Western New York that we have somebody such as James, who is willing to spend their time, which is limited time, and, you know, I don't know how you're doing it all. But
I don't have kids yet.
but still, we thank you so much on behalf of all the members of the community, James Zawadowski, for helping us and for helping so many youth at risk. And thank you for coming to On Target. And while I'm on the thank yous, we appreciate all of you listening to On Target. And I hope you'll join us again next week, same time, same station. Have a really good week, and bye now.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.